Nice to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, and we're turning our attention first to 4-H in this state and maybe in the country as well, as we visit with three guests today. This is National 4-H Month, and my goodness, we almost missed the whole month here, so I'm glad to get it in before the end of the month at least. Three guests for you today to talk about it. Claire Ullman is a Sheboygan County 4-H member. She's currently a freshman at the UW-Madison. She's working on a double major in dairy science and my department of life sciences communication soon will be. Claire, welcome. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it very much. Joe Klopotic is a Dane County 4-H member, comes from Mount Horeb, involved in probably a number of projects, but one in particular, the Shooting Sports Project. And Joe, nice to have you here as well.
Thank you.
And Tim Talon,
who's
been with us a number of times, State 4-H Arts and Communication Specialist for Wisconsin and UW Extension. Really pleased to have him along as well. Tim, how many 4-H members do we have here in the state?
I'm glad you asked me that question. There's about 37,000 4-H members, and we also have about 14,000 adult volunteers as well. So it's in the 51,000 enrolled membership.
And that's a pretty good number.
That's a pretty good number.
Give us an idea of the range of kinds of things that students become involved in.
Well, it's everything from agriculture to the arts and communications. Of course, that's my area, and just about everything in between. And that's kind of the reason that we asked Claire and Joe to come by, because they represent two different really areas that people can focus in 4-H. Claire, of course, the agricultural side, and Joe with the shooting sports, which a lot of people don't associate 4-H with those projects at all.
Yeah.
But there's just so many out there.
Yeah, Joe, how'd you get involved in the shooting sports?
Well, my family really has never been involved in it, but through 4-H, I kind of met people, and they had some real nice experiences to go and just learn with people. They provide, you know, the tools that you need to do it and show you what to do.
So you've been involved with it now for couple years? Or
yeah, probably about 5 or 6.
5 or 6 years. So you've gained a lot over 5 or 6 years. And Claire, you come from, you have a farm background, right?
Yeah, we have a hobby farm at our house back in Plymouth. And we raise some pigs and we have beef cattle.
And so you show those animals at the fair?
Yeah, we show them at state and county fairs.
All right, cool. And you know what? Jeff and Madison's already online, so let's take some calls. Again, you can join us. I should mention this. Give the number here at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org with your questions or comments or your experiences. It's always great to hear about people's involvements in the organization. And Jeff in Madison, I thank you for calling. Hello.
Good morning, guys.
Hi,
Every time
Jeff.
You have something with 4-H on, I have to call in. So hi to Tim and hi
Hello.
To everybody else out there. I'm a 4-H leader, and I always have to rave about how much fun it is to be a volunteer leader. I didn't grow up in 4-H. I grew up in La Crosse, and my parents just assumed that 4-H was for rural kids. Nothing could be farther from the truth. There are 4-H clubs in downtown Milwaukee. Every place in the state, if you want to be in 4-H, you can be in 4-H. Tim just mentioned a few of the projects that there are out there, and the nice thing about 4-H is you're not limited to what everybody else in your county is doing. If you want to be in rocketry, you can be in rocketry. I live in Sauk County, and we have an astronomy project. We build telescopes. We build an observatory. We have a rock climbing project. We have a boat building project. If you have some interest that isn't normally in 4-H, like physics or chemistry, you can have a self-determined project in 4-H. It is unbelievably fun. And now I have to rave slightly. My daughter is the reason I'm in 4-H, because she grew up, my wife was an old 4-H'er, so had to get the daughter in 4-H. you can't believe how good your kids will grow up if they're in 4-H, because they are taught right from the very beginning how to stand up and talk in front of groups, because everybody has to. My daughter, going through high school, went and talked to the governor, talked in front of the legislature. She is now, right now, in Kenya, volunteering in an orphanage, and I attribute this entirely to 4-H. It is the reason she is the person she is. Have I raved enough about what?
You got to give yourself some credit here, too, Jeff. That's an awesome story, and it's very true that part of being in 4-H is being able to get up in front of people and make a speech, mm-hmm. and talk and communicate, and that's something that is valuable and translates in over whatever you decide to do with your life and your career.
Absolutely. Well, that's where I got my first speaking experiences, was giving demonstrations, participating, being an officer in the club, and county fair events and so forth. You really do develop a lot of those skills. And Jeff, I thank you very much for calling.
Thanks,
appreciate
Jeff.
It. That was a great endorsement. And I want to give some others a chance to get on here. David and Spencer is up next. So let's go to David. David, hi. Thank you for calling.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. What I was calling for is I wanted to congratulate our national recurve archery team. Mm-hmm. Taking first place at the national meet in Nebraska this last summer. That would be Paul Raddus, Beth Raddus, Marcy Hebert, and Haley Gallion.
Very cool. So that was part of a 4-H project?
Yes. It's through a set of in sporting and shooting sports. They compete at contests throughout the whole state, mm-hmm. and they were picked as up.
Well, you're breaking up here. I'm sorry a little bit, and I'm sorry for that, David. So I'm going to turn to Joe, and Joe, maybe you could talk about what this sports is all about in terms of 4-H.
Well, yeah, I was a part of the national compound team, actually, shot alongside the recurve team this year at the nationals. But it's a lot of fun, and just being part of that group, it, you know, gives you a lot of opportunities. And the thing about shooting sports, I think, is that it just teaches you responsibility, you know, handling weapons with care. A lot of people might think that, you know, the ethics of it are, you know, something we shouldn't be teaching kids. But just, I think it just teaches you a huge amount of responsibility.
No, absolutely. Well, David, I thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. But, you know, Claire, that probably... That applies, that whole responsibility thing applies probably regardless of the type of project you have.
Oh, definitely. I've gained so much responsibility skills through my livestock background, just raising pigs, raising cattle, making sure they're cared for properly at all times, make sure they're safe and they're producing a good product.
Well, that's great. Thanks again, David, for calling. I'm sorry we had some little breakup problems there, but we'll go to Alice in La Crosse. Alice, hi to you. Thank you for calling.
Oh, I just had to. I was a 4-H member for 10 years, from the time I was 10 till I was 20, and I'm now 80. And I lived in Ohio, and I did demonstrations at the state fair when I was 10 years old. And I also had lots of, what we did was sewing and cooking. And I had dresses that went to the state fair, and I had an absolutely wonderful experience. And I just thought I had to tell you that, even though we didn't do anything with, you know, with guns or anything like that, it was just cooking and sewing.
And that's still part of the 4-H, isn't it, Tim?
Absolutely, Larry. Those traditional projects that you often hear, agriculture, cows, and cooking, they're still huge in 4-H. Foods and nutrition is a huge project area. But I think people also forget that the arts and communications are very big in 4-H as well. Young people take theater, they take painting and drawing, they take woodworking, they take all these different, photography is a huge project across our state. And I think building those skills and learning some artistic skills are something that also happens in 4-H. And I just want to point out, too, Claire is so modest. I've known Claire since she was like five or something like that. And And she's also been a leader in her club, not just with the animals, but she's been a club president, and she's had to organize a lot of young people. It's a rather large club, and I'm sure she's got a lot of stories of how to keep them quiet during a 4-H club meeting. So I think, you know, learning those kinds of skills are also things that stay with you for a lifetime.
And I just have to mention, on the arts and crafts side, one of the things that we really enjoy about, for example, when we go to the Dane County Fair or we go to the State Fair, and certainly go every year, is to look at the photography and the arts and the quilting and all of the exhibits of absolutely fantastic work.
Yeah.
And my wife's also done a lot of baking in her day, and so the the cakes are unbelievable designs. They're really
The county fairs and the state fairs are just one huge 4-H commercial in my mind, because it just shows off the kinds of things that young people are capable of doing.
Yeah. Joanne and Madison, thanks again, Alice. Joanne and Madison, your turn now. Hi, Joanne.
Good morning, Larry, and good morning to your guests. What a wonderful show.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Thank you. I am wondering, the first caller answered my burning question that I've had for 6 years since I've been a mom. Are there 4-H clubs for non-rural kids? I live in Madison, and I poked around a couple of times on the internet and wasn't able to find some information. I'm hoping that you can address that, or perhaps you'll put some links on your website. But I am just enjoying listening to the program. I'm so invigorated. Good for all of the people who are participating, and thank you, Larry, for having this program to educate the rest of us who aren't familiar with 4-H. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for calling, Joanne. I appreciate it. And certainly Madison has 4-H clubs, and Tim, you can talk about that.
Absolutely, Larry. And I would like to tell the caller, really, the easiest way to do this is to Google Wisconsin 4-H, and you'll go right to the state 4-H website. And on that website, you can find a link to Dane County 4-H. And if you click on that, there will be 4-H Youth Development right there. That's probably the easiest way to get right to a phone number. There are a lot of members in Dane County, and maybe Joe can speak a little bit to this because he's a Dane County 4-H member. I'm sure there's 20, 30 clubs, and clubs meet in Madison. And yes, you don't have to live on a farm, and there's many, many, like Jeff said earlier on, there's so many projects. Whatever interests you, there should be something there in 4-H. Joe, what about the Dane County program?
Yeah, through the fair and everything, I met a lot of people actually who might even live right in the middle of Madison, and 4-H just gives you an opportunity to try things you might not be able to do otherwise. So I think it's pretty easy actually for people to get involved.
So once again, you'd go to Wisconsin 4-H, just go to your search engine, Wisconsin 4-H, and then once you're there, go to, where do you go?
Go to your local county.
Go to
Dane County, and right there, the Dane County site will pop up, and it'll say all the different areas, agriculture, community resource development, and 4-H youth development. And just go right there, click on that, and there'll be contact information, usually pictures of the people involved, and the whole deal.
All right. Thanks, Joanne. Appreciate the call very much. Andy in Cedarburg is up next, so let's go there. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Larry. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
We shouldn't forget the role of 4-H clubs in the international 4-H club community. We were involved, my wife and I were involved back in 1963 in Quatro S, which is 4S or 4-H, in the country of Brazil. And our particular role was developing the hybrid corn usage. My wife worked in basic sanitation and home economics, and we all worked together on developing communication skills with the members of the club and the community. It was a great program. We spent an immense amount of time working with young people and working with adult leaders, and we had time to travel yet, too.
Oh, sounds like a great story. And, Tim, there are 4-H clubs in many countries.
Absolutely. It's an international kind of program. Sometimes it's called 4-H. Sometimes it's even 5-H I've seen at places. And we also have Wisconsin especially has a great 4-H international program where we send young people to Australia, Norway, Finland, Guatemala, lots of different places. And I know that a lot of 4-H'ers come back from those international experiences absolutely charged up because of the things they've been able to learn. We were talking about it earlier before we were on the air about an international experience and what that can do to broaden your horizons.
Talking 4-H today with three guests, Tim Talon, Joe Klopotic, and Claire Oman. I'm Larry Mueller. Give us a call with your questions or comments or maybe your experiences with 4-H. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Or if you'd like, you can email us. We always get lots of emails. Email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is 4-H month in Wisconsin and across the country for that matter. And so we're taking a little time today to talk with you about 4-H, the organization. And you know what? No matter what your age, pretty much you could get involved in it either as a member or as a volunteer and working with youngsters on projects. And there's, as we've been talking about, there's about as broad a range of projects as you could possibly imagine, both farm-related and non-farm-related, certainly. So join us with your questions at 800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. Harvey in Prairie du Sac is up next, so let's go to Harvey. Hi, Harvey.
Hi. I got in on your program. I'm 90 years old. I got into 4-H when I was 10-year-old at 1928. I showed animals at the state at the county fair and then at the state fair, and it got me interested in purebred animals, and my sons have a fine brown Swiss purebred herd at this time. And I especially enjoyed learning how to conduct a meeting and following Robert's Rules of Order, and thus be able to Yes, a better citizen of the country, and with all the emphasis on being good citizenship.
Well, there he is. Harvey, I thank you very much for calling. 80 years later, he remembers his first experiences in 4-H. And Joe, have you been involved as an officer in 4-H?
Actually, not through 4-H. I've only been involved in FFA.
But you've been an officer in FFA. Mm-hmm. So you get that kind of experience. And of course, Claire, you have been.
Yep, I had the opportunity to be president for a couple of years and also hold a couple other positions. So yeah. It was really good for me.
Yeah, it was great. Harvey, thanks. And it's obviously it's something that a person carries with them for their whole lifetime. In this case, 80 years.
Unbelievable.
That's great. Thank you, Harvey, mm-hmm. for calling. Janet in Rock County, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Janet. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for having me on. I'd like to ask Tim if he could talk a little bit about the county activities, like softball, show choirs, and drama, and talk a little bit, too, about the state teams and how a kid could join.
Okay. Hi, Janet. How are you? Thanks for calling. Yeah, there's a lot of opportunities to get involved on the county level, not only, you know, like Claire was saying in her club. A lot of counties have different arts groups. What Janet is referring to is a show choir that she has in Rock County, which is quite well supported. They tour all over the place. And there's several counties in the state that have a show choir. They have a drama company. They have an art team. And it's just, again, a matter of contacting your local 4-H educator or agent and finding out what's going on in your county. Beyond the county lines, we have some state groups. We have a 4-H photo team, we have a 4-H art team, 4-H drama company, and 4-H show choir called the Showcase Singers. And really the only requirement there is to be in high school and to be a 4-H member. And mm-hmm. usually the kids audition, and then they become part of a group that performs at State 4-H Conference in June, where we have 600 4-Hers from all over the state descend on Madison.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also perform at the Wisconsin State Fair for about 7 days. So it's a great experience. It's beyond the club, beyond the county. And so you can see there's, you know, county, state, and international kinds of experiences that you can have through 4-H.
Yeah, the State 4-H Congress, the state meeting is always a lot of fun. I think one of the nice things about that are the number of workshops that are offered, where I teach one on radio.
Mm-hmm.
And we do a little by the time I'm done, they've produced a little public service announcement, recorded it, listened to it, and we have a lot of fun doing that.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Janet. Julia in Fond du Lac County, your turn. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
I am wondering if your guests could address the issue of Spanish-speaking 4-H clubs. Are there any? Are there plans to include bilingual 4-H clubs? And do you have bilingual or Spanish-speaking leaders? And are you in need of that? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling.
Okay, I guess I'll start. Yes, there is Spanish literature out there, 4-H literature, and I believe a simple search, and I think I even did it yesterday, in Waukesha County, they do have a, several Hispanic 4-H clubs, and so there is project literature, and yes, we are in need of volunteers to help with that. Part of 4-H's mission is to reach out to as many populations as possible, and obviously the Hispanic population in Wisconsin is growing, and so we're hoping to meet that need by training volunteers, by getting people who can help work with Latinos and Spanish-speaking students.
What about, so how would, let's say Julia wants to get involved, how would she do that?
Well, I guess probably the best way would be to go to her local county office, and again, I think the internet's probably the easiest way to do it, and click on that county and have a conversation with the local 4-H youth development educator or agent and say, what have we got going? Do we have, you know, support literature, that kind of thing? And my sense is that, yes, there is material out there and available, and we're hoping that people will use it.
So, again, you'd go to the go online to a search engine, click, type in Wisconsin 4-H,
yep.
Find your county, and go from there.
Exactly.
All right. Julia, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. We have more callers online, but we have some open lines, so you can get on pretty quickly here with your comment or question. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 if you'd like to join in. Let's go to Lee in Brookfield next. Lee, hello to you.
Hi. I'm just calling to be just to say how excited I am to hear about all the 4-H development. I grew up on a farm in Kansas and went to a one-room rural school and started singing in a barbershop quartet in the eighth grade, and I'm a musician now, and it's just exciting to hear how far and how big 4-H has grown. And it was wonderful when I grew up on a farm.
Well, thank you very much for calling, Lee. Did either of you two characters sing in groups, or...?
Unfortunately, I don't have the voice for that.
Yeah, same here.
Maybe we could ask them to sing something right now here, Larry.
Just like you, Lee, I was involved in a group, too, and we sang, four guys, we sang all over the place. We went to many, many events, banquets, and so forth, and had a lot of time. I had a lot of fun doing it. It was great, and it was through 4-H. It was a lot of fun. Barb in Ozaukee County, we're on to you now. Hi, Barb.
Hi. I just wanted to give a plug for non-rural children. We are in Ozaukee County. We were on the Lindenwood 4-H. This is years ago. My kids are older now. We did hang out with the farm kids, which was a really wonderful experience. One thing I don't think that was mentioned is my daughter had the opportunity to go to space camp through 4-H in Huntsville, Alabama, and that was a wonderful opportunity for her. She just really probably wouldn't have been able to do that without 4-H. So there are opportunities for children other than just, showing your cow or it's just a really great, great organization. 4-H camp is probably the most fun a kid could have in summer, is going to 4-H camp.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you want to talk about, what's 4-H camp all about, Claire?
4-H camp is one of the most fun times I've ever had in my life. I got to hang out with Mr. Talon, and we do a bunch of games, do activities, hang out with your friends in cabins, and just have so much fun.
Yeah.
It's a great experience for kids.
And where's the camp?
We headed it up in Woods and
Wisconsin
the Dells.
Yeah, I spent some time in that camp, too.
You know, I think that's another thing that Claire mentioned, is that in 4-H camp, you have a setting that's away from home. You have kids from all over the county who are coming into one particular spot. It's very intense. It's kind of emotional at times. But what a great way to learn. What an environment to learn things. And a lot of the things the campers are learning are things they're not maybe even thinking about, like how to cooperate with one another, how to work as a team, how to be leaders. All these things are happening at 4-H camp, and plus it's just so much fun to be out of your normal setting, to be maybe away from mom and dad for 4 days or whatever that is, and it's a great way to learn.
I'm wondering, you know, on these we've had some sort of bad economic news here the last sort of.
Yeah.
We've had some bad economic news the last month or so or more. And I'm wondering about costs. You know, there may be parents out there who are saying, well, how much is this going to cost for me to have my child or children be along to 4-H?
Well, a great comment, because to actually join 4-H, there's no cost involved. Some clubs may have minimal dues, and I've heard them being like $1 a person, something like that. I don't know. Joe, do you have dues at your club? Or
If we do, they're not very large.
So it's, you know, it's the university sponsored program for youth in across Wisconsin. So it is it's free. Now, to go to 4-H camp, there is a fee involved.
Sure.
But I can tell you that the fees involved with that barely cover the lodging and the meals, and it's a good deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you don't. It really doesn't cost you anything to get involved with a local 4-H club.
Nope.
There's no membership fee. There may be $1 or something.
That's right.
But most probably more often than not, it's totally free.
Absolutely.
And there definitely are scholarship opportunities as well for if you want to go on a trip or something. There's definitely opportunities to get funding to go to these trips.
All right, Barb. Thank you again. Kathy and Tomahawk will go to you next. Kathy, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I'm just driving down 51, and I'm listening to this discussion, and I just had to take the time to call because I guess I can't say enough about 4-H, and my experience was 50 years ago, started when I was 10 and was in it till I graduated from high school in late 50s and through the 60s, and what an opportunity. And I was from northern Wisconsin, where we didn't have a lot of things going on, and you know, and I didn't live on a farm. I lived in a small town, but the gardening skills, and it's lifelong love, sewing, which I didn't do for 30 years, and now I'm retired and I have time for it again. But I truly know that all of those pieces were implanted by my experience in 4-H, and I always also think about all of those leaders that gave just endlessly, year after year after year, working with young people. It's a wonderful experience.
Well, thank you very much for calling. You reminded me, when you mentioned gardening, I had a gardening project. I did a cooking project. I had a leather craft project. I showed animals. I was
everything.
A little bit of everything.
It's great. And I'm really glad you brought up the whole notion of the volunteers in 4-H, because I think that's what makes our program so strong, is that we have these 14,000 adult leaders. It's almost an adult leader to every two kids out there. And I know Joe and I were talking beforehand about some of his shooting sports leaders and what kind of people they are that volunteer for 4-H.
Yeah, it's some of these people, they spend, you know, hours every week spending time helping kids, you know, learn whatever they want help with. It's pretty great.
Yeah. And I thank you again, Kathy, for calling. Appreciate it very much. And Dawn in Sullivan, I'll give you a chance now. Hi, Dawn. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. Or is it afternoon? Nope, it's still morning.
Still morning.
I haven't been listening in on the whole conversation, but my husband called me, and he's listening in, and told me that you had some people from 4-H there, and it was just kind of ironic because I attended a Jefferson County budget board meeting last night, in which they are proposing to cut about $182,000 out of the UW Extension budget, which would, in essence, eliminate the county's portion of Jefferson County 4-H. There was probably a couple hundred 4-Hers that attended it last night. And from what I understand, there's over 800 4-H children in Jefferson County and about 250 4-H leaders in the county. And I know it's tough time for everyone right now, but they just went on and on about, you know, how 4-H has really impacted this county, that it's not just for rural kids, it's for city kids too, and just kind of wanted to know what the thoughts were on that.
All right, thanks a lot for calling, Dawn. Appreciate it. Tim?
Yeah, that's the reality of our time right now. This kind of thing's probably going to happen more and more, and I appreciate your comments, because you know, when they talk about eliminating a program like 4-H or pulling back their support, I think that's when people really step up to the plate and talk about the kinds of impacts that 4-H has had on their lives, on their children, on themselves. And these are powerful things and can be very emotional. So I'm glad they packed the boardroom. I hope they can, you know, reverse their decision if they did indeed vote to cut that. Because in my experience, and I've been involved in this now for 25 years as a 4-H staff member, I have seen firsthand what it does for people, what it's done for my family, for myself, for my children. And I'm looking across at Claire and Joe and seeing what they've accomplished because of 4-H. And, you know, it's not the kind of program that you know, builds roads or fixes potholes or does those kinds of important things that have to be done, but it's a program that really helps build young people. And I think if we're going to deal with the things we need to deal with in the future, it's all about building young people.
Thanks very much for calling, Dawn. And we've had several emails. I should just read a few. Gail in Sun Prairie says her kids are fourth generation 4-H'ers. I've led a club in Dane County for 10 years now. And she says, by the way, there are more than 50 clubs in Dane County.
Okay.
4-H camp is terrific. Her mom, herself, and her kids have all gone to the same camp up in Woods. My son got to sing with Tim in Green Bay at a national 4-H talent show in
Green
Bay.
I remember.
He was 6 years old. So as she said, fantastic program. And Tristan from Winnebago County, I'm a 4-H 4-H'er. I'll be graduating from 4-H next year. Through 4-H, I went to Madison for the 4-H Youth Conference. She went to my radio session. Learned a lot about how government works. Next year, she went to Washington, D.C. for the 4-H Citizenship Washington Focus. Got to meet both senators. Also got to participate in a national 4-H press release. She says she thinks 4-H helped her a lot in her college entry. It weighed heavily in my qualifications to get into the Milwaukee School of Engineering.
Very good. And that's, you know, Claire, you can talk about this. And Joe, you too. I mean, part of the requirements of 4-H is what they call the famous record book, where you have to write down everything you did in 4-H. And at the time, you hated it. But looking back,
It definitely helped in applying for scholarships and applying for college. I really, really do think that it weighed heavily on my acceptance to UW-Madison and like the scholarship opportunities that I had. I'm really, really grateful for my experiences because I think they helped a lot.
Well, let's go to Greg in Watertown. Greg, hi. Thank you for calling.
You bet, Larry. Thanks for the great show. See, I also attended that county board meeting last night. I'm a county board supervisor and used to sit on the UW Extension Committee. And gosh, Larry, times are hard right now. We have a perfect storm happening. We have a lot of funds that we expected to come in from investment not coming in, sales taxes, things of that nature. Then we have escalating costs. And on top of it all, we have a situation where we have a 2% tax levy increase, and it makes it impossible with the state deferring many of its programs and mandated services without the funding for them. It puts us in an incredibly difficult situation. And you know, the only thing we are legally able to cut are non-mandated services, and University Extension is one of those. Now, I personally believe University Extension is well worth the money we pay for it. It's a high leverage activity. There's a lot of strategic advantage to keeping our access to the university there. But it's still, there are certain constraints that we need to act within as county board supervisors, and until we get the state to react responsibly and stop shunting off a lot of their work onto us without any funds to take care of it, we're going to find ourselves in this situation year after year after year until the economy turns around, if it does.
Yeah, and I don't, by the way, thanks for serving. Because it's kind of a thankless job, and it's got to be very frustrating for people. Tim, a comment from you?
I guess the only thing, thanks for serving. Claire alluded to earlier on, or maybe it was Harvey who talked about the democratic process you learn through 4-H by being a 4-H club officer and Robert's Rules of Order, and learning how that democratic process works. And I understand that that's what's happening on the county level, too, with these budgets and what's not coming in to help support things. But I guess through discussion, through the kinds of discussions that happened last night and into the future, I hope people can come to a resolution that we need to support these programs for youth.
Yeah.
That's an excellent comment. And, yes, we saw so many brilliant young people with leadership skills that were years beyond them, I thought. It was an amazing demonstration of public involvement and actual responsibility, people stepping forward to take responsibility for what they think is important and the leadership building. And this is one of the reasons why I support University Extension, is it has so many positive features like this. It builds character, that's what 4-H does. But it also gives us access to the university, the Wisconsin idea. I'm afraid if we lose University Extension, we will not have objective places to go to for answers as a county board supervisor as to the values of certain things if we have to rely on public consultants, which a lot of the work would go to. So keep up the good work. Thank you for allowing me to participate.
Yeah,
thank you.
Greg, thank you very much for calling. And we did get another email from Gail, who says she wanted to rave a bit about a 4-H, a leader, two daughters involved, 3 years they've been 4-Hers. They've done performing arts, baking, child development, sewing, canning, crafts, entomology, fine arts, demonstrations, photography, and animal science.
Oh, yeah.
and their club is the Llama Tears. It's a project club. They focus on training and showing llamas, but there are other things there for her kids, too.
Absolutely.
Well, this has been a great conversation. I want to thank you all very much for coming. And once again, if you want to get involved in 4-H, how do we do that? Go to the website.
I think the best way is through the internet is to go on your search engine and just type in Wisconsin 4-H. And what will pop up is a link to our homepage. And from that point, you can find any county. Go to the county. Click on that, and the 4-H Youth Development staff will be there. Contact information, phone numbers, emails, the whole nine yards.
Well, thank you, all three of you, again, for being with us. They appreciate it very much. Tim Tallon is Sheboygan County, is the state 4-H Arts and Communication Specialist for Wisconsin and UW Extension. Joe Klopotic, a Mount Horeb guy, a Dane County 4-H member involved in the Shooting Sports Project, and Claire Oman is a Sheboygan County 4-H member and currently a freshman at the UW-Madison. Great to have them with us as we talked about 4-H. Always a lot of fun to talk about it. As I said, I was involved in it and learned a lot from it. And you and your children can, too. Even if you don't have children, you can still volunteer. All right? I bet you there's some things in 4-H relating to biomass and biofuels. I wouldn't be a bit surprised. And coming up, we've got a guy who knows a whole lot about it, Eric Appelbach of Madison, president and CEO of Virent Energy Systems. Coming up next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.